Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Child Protection in Sport Unit. We're part of the NSPCC and funded by UK Sports Councils. Our work supports organisations to safeguard all children taking part in sport.
Hi, my name's Mel and welcome to this episode about DBS checks in sport. I'm joined here today by two representatives from the Disclosure and Barring Service, Linda and Helen, and I'm also being helped out by my colleague Leanne from the CPSU as well. We're going to talk today about the very basics of DBS checking and the DBS service, and we're going to cover everything from what a DBS check actually is to how you'd get one done and the types of things that make somebody eligible to get the certain levels of checks that are available. So Leanne, if you wouldn't mind just starting us off.
So what is a DBS check and how does it help to protect children and other vulnerable people?
A DBS check is, it comes in a paper certificate, it's got information on there which allows employers to see whether the person that they're hoping to employ, whether that be a volunteer employing or paid employment, is suitable to work in the role that they want them to do. So that's it in a nutshell.
And Linda, are there different types of check that can be carried out depending on what kind of role the person has?
We've got four different types of checks, and organisations need to be able to understand what level of check they can get for the role that they're looking to put that person in. And that's really important because organisations shouldn't ask for more information than they require. And the level of checks that we provide are relative to the risk that the person might pose or the job that they might hold. So we've got a basic check, and that's for anybody doing any role whatsoever. And that would potentially show up with any unspent convictions and conditional cautions. Every conviction holds a rehabilitation period, and those periods are different depending on the type of conviction they had. If it's a standard level check, and a standard level check is something that's bound by legislation, so they get old convictions, new convictions, and again, employers, it goes on the certificate. The certificate goes only to the applicant. The applicant then has to show it to their employer, and then they have a conversation about, you know, whether there, if there's any information on there, then the employer would assess whether that person's then a risk in the role that they're about to go into. There's another level of check, which is an enhanced level of check, and you get old convictions, potentially new convictions, and depending again on who they're working with. So in a sports environment, they'll either be working with children or they'll be working with adults. So we call it the child workforce and the adult workforce. And that's really important to understand that, because if that application goes to a police force, then the police force they've got statutory duty to consider any information they've got against the workforce that the person is in, and they make a risk assessment about whether they put that information on the certificate or not. And again, there's statutory guidance about that, which is on our website.
So just to clarify, with the basic and the standard checks, it's just criminal convictions that come up on them. And of course, any information that comes from the PNC in terms of convictions is subject to filtering rules. So some old convictions or very, very minor ones are removed, but you can find more details about that on the DBS website.
In the enhanced check, where you're talking about the police check, would that then cover things that there aren't necessarily convictions, but...
Yes, that's absolutely right.
So investigations, right, okay. And that's different from, obviously, the more basic checks.
Yeah, so okay. It's non-conviction information, but information which the police have, which they reasonably believe to be relevant and ought to be disclosed. So there's two tests that the police have to consider before the information gets put on the certificate.
So they're obviously the levels of check that an applicant might be eligible to get. Can you just explain to us if there's anything else above that? Like, I've heard of something called the barred list check.
With the enhanced, you get enhanced only checks, which covers everything we've just spoken about.
Yeah.
But for certain roles, and again, thinking from a sports perspective, you've got roles where it might be classed as regulated activity, which is just a list of roles that are set down in legislation that says if you perform any of these duties and you do it so often, then it's a regulated activity role. And when it is that role, say like a sports coach, if they do it often enough, then that person can get a barred list check with against the children's list, say. And if that if that's the case with an enhanced check and the employer has completed the form and requests a barred list check, on the certificate it will also say whether the person is barred from working with children or isn't barred from working with children at the point that we collated the information on the certificate.
So where does all of that information come from for the check?
So if it's conviction information, it comes from something called the Police National Computer. So the police put the information on there and it'll say what the person was in court for. It'll give you their disposal history, so what sentence they got, and it would give you the court and so on. If it's non-conviction information, in the case of enhanced checks, it goes, in certain cases, to a police force, and they have a different IT system that holds information about them that isn't actually a conviction. So there's two separate IT systems in that regard. The barred list checks, DBS own the barred lists, so we have the list of people who are on the barred list.
So how do I carry out a DBS check on somebody?
Okay, the first thing to do is you have to have the conversation with the person whom you want to DBS check. You have to obviously understand the role that they're going to play in your organisation. If it's a basic check, that's all you need to do. Have the conversation, tell them you'd like them to undergo a basic check. You have to fill in a form. Sometimes it can be online if it's a basic check or not. And the person can do it themselves or they can go through an organisation set up to do that. It's a little more complicated if you want to do a standard or an enhanced check on them, because you as the employing organisation need to understand what level you can legally ask. And then you should tell the person really what level of check you're going to apply for and why. So once you've had those conversations, you fill in a form and either you send us a set of details, or, you know, name, address, dates of birth, so we can do our matching. And then it comes through to us, potentially electronically. We receive it and then we put it into our system, and then it starts all the processes dependent that we've just talked about. And at the end of it, there'll be a certificate for the individual applicant.
And how long does that process take? Does it vary depending on what sort of level of check that you need?
Yep, absolutely. With a basic check, it's very, very quick indeed. All our timings are on the website.
Yeah.
This presupposes that the information that we require is sent to us, you know, at the first pass. Sometimes we've got to go back out for information, which adds to the time it's taken.
Yeah,
so there's that kind of consideration to have. With enhanced, either with or without barred list, there could be other third parties involved, like the police, and then it's down to the time the police take to assess in the information they've got to put it on the certificate.
I think the one thing that you need to be aware of, though, is just because a certificate may be taking a long time doesn't actually mean that there is information, because sometimes when we send them out to police forces, we only get the what we call the nominal details. So when it goes out to a police force, it may just be that the police force know about that individual for another reason. They might have a gun license, for example, or, you know, so they might be on their records for really, you know, no other reason than that they are law-abiding citizens. So the time it takes is not necessarily an indication that there is something there to be concerned about. So employers need to bear that in mind. It doesn't mean that there's something bad coming just because it's taken
just
a little
means
longer.
It's delayed because there are other factors, maybe. Yeah.
And I think it's important to say as well that from a sports perspective, if you are a club that's affiliated to a national governing body, most of the time your national governing body will want you to access DBS checks through them. So it's definitely worth checking their guidance.
So you've recently released your new leaflets for sports, which are regarding DBS eligibility. Could you just tell us a little bit more about those leaflets and what they mean for sport?
Yeah, these were leaflets that we were asked to produce because organisations who use our service were telling us that, you know, legislation is a bit complex, isn't it? You know, and if you're not doing the checks all the time, then, you know, you really have to go back to scratch and go, what does this mean again? We put the leaflets together so that even for people who are not used to using our systems, could just read them and think, oh yeah, there may be some rules here. I need to find out what they are. Where can I find out about it? And in the leaflets, we've put some working examples, if you like, of the common positions that you get in sports, like sports coaches, you know, like physiotherapists, questions like that. So we can set it out in a way that people might go, oh yeah, I understand why I can get that level of check for that person, or why I can't get it for that person. And the leaflets are only part of a suite of information that DBS already has. And we wanted to take people on a journey, if you like, because hopefully we'll be talking to people in language they understand, with a little bit of legislation thrown in. And then we've got an eligibility tool on our website, which again takes people through a series of questions. And those series of questions are based on the type of thinking that any organisation would have to do to try and understand what level of check can be requested for any particular role. And then there'll be an outcome at the end. And we've also got some, I think, fairly heavy duty eligibility guidance on the website. And again, it's broken down by roles and not by titles, because legislation isn't broken down by titles. Yeah. You won't find sports coach in legislation. But what you will find is somebody who instructs or teaches children, and they do it often enough. So it's trying to get people to understand, don't think of a job title, think of the activities, think of the responsibilities. Mm-hmm. You know, so we've got those three major pieces of information that's on our website that, depending on the role the person has in the sports organisation, they could access it, and hopefully it'll give them enough information for the decision that they need to make.
I think we're hoping that's going to be the most helpful part about these leaflets, is that bit around, like you say, thinking about the activities within a role rather than the job title.
Just in sport, there's often people that do multiple roles, so they could be like the safeguarding lead, but they could also coach, or they could also be a first aider, and then, you know, you're not specifically pigeonholed into one area, you're kind of covered lots of different areas within that sport. So yeah, it is quite difficult to then pin down.
Yeah,
for sports, they find it quite tricky, I think, to pin down. So these leaflets do really help clarify that, especially with the scenarios.
I think we've, in the past, Helen, as well, we've said that don't put the person's job title in the application form. Put down what they do that makes them eligible.
Yeah.
You know, so we're not looking at somebody's contract that says they're an HC1, for instance, that we've seen sometimes in from an NHS perspective. Put down they're a doctor or a registrar, or, you know, so exactly as you said. And people might do a variety of different roles, but only put down the one that makes them eligible.
For me, one of the key things that we tell people is to think about what risk is it that you're trying to mitigate with the check. And if you start at that end of it rather than the role, if you think about which activities are the risky activities that you think you need the check for, that's the easiest way to identify eligibility, and not necessarily going from a job title down the other way. And we find that works really well in some of the settings where it might look like somebody isn't eligible, but if you consider what they're actually doing and where that risk lies, that's where you identify the level of check that's needed. So that's always a helpful.
So if you've a sport and you've read the leaflet, but you're still unsure of what the tools might help, what else is out there for sports to help them with their DBS checks? And
well, I touched briefly on our eligibility tool, which is an interactive tool. So it asks you a series of questions. And one of the, I think the questions that would be really important from a sports perspective as well is to understand, again, who's in the child workforce and who's in the adult workforce, because a child within a DBS check is somebody under 18. So if that's the case, then our eligibility tool is split into those workforces. So you immediately start with knowing which vulnerable group are you trying to protect children. Start with that question. And then it goes on to ask you a series of questions about what your employee might do for that child. And that takes you on to, again, absolutely defining what it is that they're going to do, why a DBS check can help you assess that risk. And within the eligibility tool as well, it asks you questions about how often do they do it, because that's another really important aspect of understanding what level of check you can get and why. And the eligibility tool will help you understand what that is.
Go through that process.
Yeah.
Okay. It's worth saying as well that there's a wealth of sort of guidance on DBS checks specifically within sport on the CPSU website, on our safer recruitment pages, and we've also got the DBS FAQs on there as well. And we've also written sort of additional guidance for some of the more slightly tricky roles to work out eligibility in sport, like pool lifeguards is a big one that we get asked about a lot. So I know we've worked with DBS to write some additional guidance on there. So if you are looking for further answers, please head over to the website. And if you can't find what you're looking for, give us a shout through the contact form on there.
Okay, so how is eligibility assessed and checked for?
So there's a list of activities. So once, say, for instance, driving, you might not think that driving children would be something that you could get a regulated activity check on. But if the organisation has provided or asked a person to be the driver for a group of children, and they do it often enough, say more than three times in a 30-day period, that's that person's role. So because that's listed in legislation, because that person does it often enough, then that person is in regulated activity with children, which means you can get an enhanced check with a check of the children's barred list. So again, it's that thought process. Age of the people that you're going to be working with, what the person's going to be doing for them, how often they're going to be doing it. There are certain rules where you have to, the organisation has to consider whether the person doing the role is being supervised by somebody else in regulated activity. But there's information about that, again, on our website, and it's information from the Department for Education. And again, it sets out some examples of what people should think about when they're making that determination of supervision, because it can differ very much in the role and from club to club. So that's not something DBS can give advice on, but there's advice on the website from the Department for Education about that.
Just quickly on the end of that, so when we're talking about frequency, I guess we're talking about something that's called the period condition, aren't we, in terms of how often somebody does that. So can you just elaborate on exactly what the frequency is that somebody, say a sports coach, would need to meet in terms of getting an enhanced check? So they're a sports coach, we've figured out that the activities within their role make them eligible, but how frequently would they need to be coaching to...
Okay, so for a check to be, for the person to be in regulated activity, that coach would need to be teaching or instruction children, and it doesn't need to be the same children, it just needs to be the group.
Okay.
More than 3 days in a 30-day period.
Okay.
But there's an additional point there where the legislation said, or overnight between the times of 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. if you've got opportunity for contact with that child. So it's either or, and you only need to do the 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. once.
Thanks, Linda. I think that's about covered the basic end of carrying out DBS checks in sport. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you are listening and have any further questions about the disclosure and barring service or carrying out DBS checks, you can head over to their website, and that's www.gov.uk/government/organisations/disclosure-and-barring-service. And if you've got any specific questions about DBS checks in sport, you can always check out our website, and that's www.thecpsu.org.uk. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch up with you next time.
Thank you for listening to this Child Protection in Sport Unit podcast. If you're looking for more information and resources on safeguarding children in sport, please visit our website at thecpsu.org.uk.